is the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Combs is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again, everybody, to another edition, actually another year, of the Viking Roundball Podcast alongside Vinton County Boys Basketball Coach Matt Combs. Carl Knox with you as we bring you another year of Viking Roundball insight, review, action, and any other crap we can come up with, right?
yes.
How are you doing, Coach?
All right, Carl. How's it been?
I'm doing good. It seems like it's the same thing every year. The beginning of the basketball season is like opening up a great novel. It's going to be the best of times. And unfortunately, sometimes getting through a little adversity in the worst of times. But nonetheless, welcome back to the podcast this year. We do have a title sponsor. Want to bring them up right out of the gate. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Wellston, and Oak Hill. Brad Munn, the owner of those McDonald's stores, has been gracious enough to give us a very, very handsome donation to help support the podcast. And all that money will be going directly into the coffers to help the boys in the basketball program.
Yeah, we want to really, tell Brad we appreciate what he's done so far. They've only been in our community for a short time, but obviously already willing to help. That's what's always been great about the community of MacArthur, really, is the local business people always, you know, helping our athletic programs. And Brad's jumped right in there. And definitely want to tell him thanks. And like you said, definitely want to thank you for volunteering your time to do this. I mean, this isn't something you get paid for or any of us. We just do this for kind of the fun of it, to promote our program. And it takes a lot of different people donating their time, so we really appreciate that.
Any email that you'd like to send us a question, you can either message us on our Facebook page at Vinton County Viking Basketball, or if you want to send us an email, it's vikingroundball@yahoo.com. And throughout the season, because we do know under the podcast format, you can listen to this anytime, anywhere in the world you want. And if you have a question for the coach, you're always open to answering those things.
Definitely. Yeah, we'd really like to see the public participation go up this year a little bit. We know we've got listeners because when you do the podcast, you can monitor that, you know, how many people are listening to the show. And so we know there's people out there. We hope they participate, get involved, ask some questions. Really, we're doing this for you, the fan, more than anybody, and of course to promote our kids. So, yeah, get involved, and we'll get you on the show, and that's what really makes it fun. You know, a lot of people know I help my brother with his podcast, with the SVC Sports Zone podcast that DBK Media Services produces, that's what makes that show so great, is the public really gets involved and sends emails and asks questions. So hopefully we can get a little bit of that too.
Yeah, granted, though, you know, with the SVC and Shane does just a tremendous job. That guy is a walking encyclopedia of anything and everything that is SVC. With them, they're, you know, with what you guys do over there, and I know you help him during the fall season. Right. Then he has other help through the winter sports podcast. But you know, that's addressing multiple school districts. Here we're just Vinton County, right. But at the same time, we're always open. I want to run through some of the things we're going to be doing this year. Obviously, we're going to try to have guests, and we do have our guest coming in here. Knowing Troy, he's going to walk in at any given time. Right. But Troy Bolin of TriValleyConference.com thought it'd be a good time to have him in early in the season to kind of do a preview of the TVC Ohio. And, you know, he has a lot of insight. And again, do check out his website, TriValleyConference.com. He's also a moderator on Southeastern Ohio Preps, has a lot of insight to high school sports throughout Southern Ohio. We'll have him on later in this podcast. And then throughout the year, we're going to sprinkle it in with some coaches and things like that. And as you and I talked earlier this fall, as we were kind of ramping up to this, trying to think of, you know, we've had about every freaking coach in Southeast Ohio. Right. We've done that. We're obviously going to bring the kids in later in the year and, you know, touch base and, you know, do the senior night, things like that. One of the ideas you came up, and I'll just kind of let you intro it, is something we're going to work on. And we think especially a lot of the diehard Vinton County fans are really going to like it. A segment we're going to kind of get into called Where Are They Now?
Yeah, I mean, what we try to do, and you said it best, we've been doing this a while now, and you start to have guests, and you start to use up guests, so to speak, and you don't want to just do the same thing every year. And I got to thinking, really looking at the history of our program, I think would be fun, not only during the 13 years now that I've been here, but even before that, but just trying to get some people on that maybe were former great players or coaches or whatever in the program, and kind of find out what they're doing. It's interesting to me now. I've been here long enough myself to where a lot of guys I coached are well into their adult lives. They have kids, families, great careers, and I think it'd be fun to look at some of those. And we haven't had all of those on before. We've had some of our former players on, but we haven't had them all. And then there's people, like I said before, I coached here that were great players that maybe we can get on too. We've had some through the Hall of Fame and things like that. So we're going to try to pick out some different people that maybe you haven't heard from in the past on our show, and kind of see how they're doing now and what they're up to, and just try to focus on. I think it's fun to focus on the history. We've had a great program here. Over the last several years, and we've had some great teams, like I said, way back in the history too. And I think it's fun to review that sometimes and just kind of explore the history. So we're looking forward to taking on that. And like you said, we may still have just some coaches from the area on too. We'll mix it up a little bit, but it's going to be something new and something different.
Well, it's something we've touched on a lot of these older players that through the Hall of Fame activities. But I know as a coach, one thing you really and I think every coach is like this, especially when you've done it for a long time. I hear you tell stories about, you and your beautiful wife, Amy, taking a trip to New Orleans to go down and spend time with Ryan Kent.
Right.
It's actually that what people don't see is that despite seeing you barking at kids on the bench and screaming and yelling, that you really develop long-standing, lifelong relationships with a lot of these guys that, now they've gotten through college, graduated, they got jobs of their own and families and things like that. And right. And you say, yeah, I coached that kid back in, 2003 or whatever. So it's something we're looking forward to. We're going to get into this year's team and also talk to Troy Bolin later in the podcast about the TVC Ohio this year. But just a quick recap of some things in this first segment. Last year, finished the year 14-6 overall, 9-1 in the TVC, picked up your second TVC Ohio title in a row. I think you've had, what now, 7 in the last 9 years? Is that
right?
Sound right?
Right, 7-9.
Unfortunately, got knocked off in the sectional final up at Jim Myers Gymnasium at Logan High School by Fairfield Union. The final of that game, 63-55. I know I don't think you want to spend a lot of time on this game, but I still want to bring it up just to go back. Uh-huh. Not a game that I really thought you guys played with a lot of composure, had Chewy Small would go out with an injury, but just give me a quick recap of that.
Yeah, it was a tough night all the way around, and that game has kind of stuck in our craw a little bit, I think, in the offseason. Fairfield Union, we knew, was a good team. The thing about our sectionals, you're never going to get an easy pass. I mean, we've been 20-0 before, and you go in there and you have a dogfight because every team in that sectional is pretty good usually.
Right.
But it was a game we were hoping we might be able to get and win and get to the convo again. But like you said, a lot happened. A lot went wrong. Early injury, and then I think some composure. We lost our composure in various ways, and had to change the game plan a lot on the fly. And then you had a kid from them just have a great night. You had a really good senior for them score 30 some odd points, and the next thing you know, you get beat by 8. It's something we've really tried to take a step back this year as a coaching staff and look at our program and say, okay, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? We always do that because you're never as good as you think you are, and you're usually never as bad as you think you are. But we've really stepped back and kind of looked and said, where do we want to go from here as a program? We have some good young talent coming up through our program right now. We obviously have a mix of kids back from last year, and we don't want to, we don't want to rest on our laurels and just say, well, we've done this well, so we must have it all figured out. Obviously, we don't, and we've got to make improvements. So we've done a few things differently that I'm sure we'll touch on throughout our show this year, but that we're trying to do to be better. Not just just be better all around, still want to be good in league play. Our league is going to be really good this year. We still want to be good there, but we also want to be better outside of our league and in the tournament. So there's some different things that we've tried to focus on.
Three seniors graduated from last year, Ryan Chesser, Tyler Dunlap, and Dustin Holtzinger. Obviously bringing back an experienced varsity squad this year, which we'll get into later. One thing I wanted to touch on real quickly, a lot of the basketball junkies, we know about what goes on in the summer, but real briefly, Coach, kind of touch on the summer season, what all you did this year? I know you had some shootouts. The team camp, did you even have a team camp?
Well, we were supposed to. We went to OU team camp. And
the storm.
That was the weekend of that nasty storm we had that knocked power out on people for, well, right here in MacArthur for, what, nine days in some cases? You know.
I signed more claims checks in that 45-day period.
You had a lot of fun during that stretch. But that camp ended up getting canceled. We actually got one night of it in. But, you know, we go to camp. You know, we typically go to a camp or some sort of trip, and then we have some what they call shootouts, or just like one-day tournament-type things where you get together and play. This year we did something different. We had a program-wide mini camp, we called it. We used three of our coaching days just right here in our own gym with our own kids, just going over stuff. And I think that's good because we have a lot of younger kids coming in now. We wanted to set the table a little bit, how we do things. Yeah, it's different every year. Now it's going to change even more because the OHSA, it looks as if we're going to be allowed to do some individual instruction next year. And I don't know if that's 100% official yet. It may be by now, but we're going to be able to do some individual instruction in the summertime that we've never been allowed to do before. So that's going to be nice too. That's going to help us coaches some.
So you think that, you know, as this maybe coincides with the fact they're going to a 22-game regular season schedule,
right,
and it seems like they're maybe kind of, for lack of a better word, deregulating a little bit on instructional time that you have in the off season than what has been in the past.
Well, I think the goal is to allow coaches to do some positive things with their kids in the off season, and then to understand too that some of the current rules we've had are a little bit tough to enforce. Probably, you know, people can do some things and probably get away with it. We've tried to go strictly by the book, you know, just because, you know, we want to teach our kids it's the right thing to do, but I think this will help a little bit. It'd be nice to be able to work out with, I think, up to four kids at once is what they're going to allow you to do. And that's going to be nice just for individual skill development, which I think all coaches want to do. Because, I mean, playing's fine in the summer, but I think most coaches would tell you benefit more from the one-on-one time with kids really working on the skills and fundamentals.
During those summer shootouts, team camps, things like that, when you're playing as a team and having competition, full court, things like that, how obviously the returning kids know the offenses, know the sets. There's a lot of continuity between what you do on the varsity level and what Coach Hale is teaching on the JV level, even down to what Coach Carpenter's doing on the freshman level. But how detailed into the offensive and, you know, as far as sets, as far as your motion offenses, how much do you get into that in the summer, or is it more or less just getting into the continuity of the game and letting the kids play?
Yeah, we do very little. We basically run our continuous offense. I don't know that we call it a set play all summer, to be honest with you, and we don't play zone or anything like that. We just really want the kids to learn how to play together, learn to communicate with each other, work through things on their own. At least my opinion, we don't want to spoon feed people in the summertime and do everything for them. We want them to learn some stuff on their own because, let's face it, winning and losing isn't that big a deal at that time of the year. You're just trying to get kids to get better. So that's the way we approach it.
One other thing I wanted to touch about and thank a lot of the sponsors locally that helped us out with the Viking Golf Scramble. We had that back on August the 11th at Fairgreens Golf Club. Raised a lot of money for the kids, and a lot of the kids helped out, volunteered. You know, I kind of was a little shocked because normally you rig the thing because you're so I mean,
yeah.
Didn't mean to say that.
Oh, no. I know. I just slipped out. I understand.
Everything was good except for the food.
Yeah.
Well, we had a problem with the grill. Whoever brought the grill to that thing needed to clean it up.
I'll tell you, we're going to have to find that guy. But no, it was a good event out there. We had, I think, 18 teams in it, so it was a real good turnout. Yeah, I mean, we were pleased with it. And like I said, it's one of our fundraisers we do. We do several fundraisers so we can, you know, have good things for our kids. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously, you know, you and I, we enjoy golf anyway, so it's kind of a fundraiser that we can also have fun with. But yeah, it was a real good event. Had pretty good weather. Everything worked out well.
Yeah, and one other thing before we kind of get into the next segment and start talking about this year, and I might, you know, emotionally get a little choked up here, but you know the thing about this podcast, unlike you know, some dry, boring radio broadcast or you know some BS article that you get in the newspaper, which is just softballs. We want the listeners to listen to the Viking Round Ball podcast. We want you to know the unknown and the inside scoop of what really transpires in a high school basketball program. And when things go good, we want you to know about that and know the inside story. But also, something very tragic happened. I think it was one morning in July that, you know, you and I were planning on playing golf and we were going to play that afternoon. And I called you, and of course, just an icon within the basketball program, and for that matter, your life. And there is tissue underneath the console there, Coach.
Okay.
He indicated that the legendary Matt Combs transportation sprung a little leak. Yes. Now anyone who knows anything about Coach Combs knows that he's driven the same Nissan Altima.
Yeah,
I think since you started the job here.
Oh yeah, I bought that car. The original Beast was bought back in 2001, right down on at Taylor Honda, I think it was, in Athens. And I got to say, they didn't sell me a lemon. I bought that car with about 17,000 miles on it and drove it for 328,000 miles before it blew up.
Tragic. Yeah. You know, the thing was, it by the time it blew up, it had no hubcaps. So obviously, the hubcaps have been off of it for years.
No, it squeaked. So I had to make a decision whether I wanted to sound bad or look bad. So well, and with looks.
The thing that just absolutely really, you know, showed your true love and devotion for this vehicle was the bungee cord that was holding the back bumper on.
Yes. Yeah, I actually hit a light pole with that. I was in a hurry to get out of the parking lot.
It was behind the school because they got it on video. I've heard that it wasn't pretty. You weren't in a good mood when you left that night.
No, I hit it hard that night because I was flying out of there. And then, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to have a bumper, and I'm not handy, so I just bungeed it on there. Worked just fine. Now, we retired the bungee cords. They're hanging in the garage.
Okay, and you know, I know that your cleanliness. I remember one year you came out and you were going to some landscape plants, and I didn't know you that well. You remember
yes,
this?
Yes.
I did not know you that well, and you were coming out of the house because you and Amy had just bought your new house, and you were I was going to throw these away, and you said, no, I'll take them. So you come out, you got car seats and basketballs in your briefcase and 50 or 60 McDonald's bags in the back seat. And I remember saying, man, you know, I'll get you some newspaper to put there on the floorboard because these were just landscape plants with dirt hanging off of them. And you just looked at me and said, I don't need newspaper.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about having a car. Like, you just throw it in there, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
But anyhow, and before we move on to the next point, the good news is, obviously, Coach Combs is very thrifty with his cars and smart and realizes if it works, you keep doing the same thing. But knowing that, you know, this is a 12-year-old vehicle. For the record, Coach, you had a 2001 Nissan Altima. You got 300 and some thousand miles out of it. Please tell all five of our podcast listeners the new make and model of car that you replaced this with. Go.
2001 Nissan Altima.
There we go.
Yeah, but it only had 125,000 on it, so it'll last forever.
Oh.
You can tell. I mean, it's pretty obvious looking at the way I dress and what I drive. You know, my image isn't all that important to me. I'm not like Andre Agassi. Image isn't everything.
Very true. Coming up next, we're going to get into this year's version of the Vinton County Viking Varsity program, as well as touch base on the JV levels and the freshman levels as the Vinton County Viking Round Ball Podcast rolls on, presented by McDonald's. It's old news, huh?
Yeah.
Yesterday's business. No one wants to know. Water under the bridge. Back on the Viking Round Ball Podcast alongside Vinton County Viking basketball coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox, in our padded room, kicking off another season of Round Ball Hoops action and review. And, you know, first segment we talked about last year's team. And like you said, that's yesterday's news. It's water under the bridge. Just like all the hiring and firing and new coaches and old coaches and I'm not allowed to go there. I get it. But moving right along, start talking about this year's team and you know, kind of one of the things, and I always tend to be the negative Nelly, the cynical one, and you know, I heard throughout the summer, you know, a lot of people, you go to other communities and they talk about, oh, Vinton County's just going to be stacked next year. They're going to be so good. They only really lost one starting player and they're going to be so experienced. And you know that we even talked, I think it was one of the final podcasts we did last year as far as the TVC this year. And we'll talk to Troy Bolin here later in the podcast. A lot of the teams in the TVC are going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
You could probably make an argument that every team in the league is going to be better to an extent. You know, the majority of them are going to be better. But this year's team, let me just run off the roster and, you know, I kind of want you to go through and touch about each player and their role and their, you know, what their pros and cons, things like that. Obviously, bringing back Jordan Kidd, just a super athletic, a good guy. LB Ramey, Bryce Owings, Alex Owings, Matthew Smallwood, coming back from an injury. We'll get into that. Also, as far as your other players, Alex Henry is going to be seeing time both on the varsity and the JV level. Tyler Walton, a young man that did not play last year. Most of the Vikings fans will remember him from his sophomore year. He is playing, and from what I've seen, he's not necessarily a big scorer, but he's a very scrappy, athletic, aggressive player that can help you out. Also, Parrish Smith, that came in off the bench last year in that final tournament game, showed you some good minutes. David Allen back. He had a good JV showing last year. And then in terms of sophomores making the varsity squad this year, we got Levi Boring, Max Ward. I know Levi has worked real, real hard in the offseason. Max Ward, a southpaw left-hander, some potential there as far as development. And then our freshmen, going to be dressing three freshmen this year on the varsity bench. One freshman, a lot of our Viking fans will recognize the last name, Jordan Albright, his brother Jared, a standout for you about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And then we have Chase Wood and Sean Cottle. They'll be seeing time both on the JV level and the varsity level. And I think it's probably the first time in a long time that we can say we're really starting to get some true post players back on the varsity scene. So give me your rundown of this year's squad, and what do you see?
Well, I think, one, it starts with, it always starts with your seniors. I guess to back up and say this, there were three major issues I thought we had last year that hurt us at times. One was lack of experience, which you can't really do anything about until kids gain that experience. One was lack of depth, especially at the point guard position. When Chewy went down with that injury last year, we had a really hard time. And then I thought, finally, obviously, lack of size. I think we've improved a little bit in each of those areas is the good news. I mean, obviously, we're a little more experienced this year just because we returned some guys. Whether or not that pays off, that remains to be seen. But we are more experienced. We're a little bit bigger, although it's young size. We've got some size that's freshman and sophomore. And then we're certainly a little deeper, not only at the point guard, where now we've got a couple guys in Matthew Smallwood and Jordan Albright that can handle the ball for us a little bit there. But we also have just a little bit more depth across the board. I mean, last year, really, we could only go about seven deep. And so, I like that, those things. I like the fact that those issues have been addressed a little bit and are hopefully going to be a little bit better. But it starts with your seniors. We've got six seniors, four of which have some significant experience, and you mentioned them with Jordan Kidd and LB Ramey and Bryce Owings and Matthew Smallwood, two of which not so much experience. Pear dressed some varsity last year, played mostly JV, and then Tyler didn't play last year. So we're looking for those six guys to hopefully, when you have seniors and you have 17, 18-year-old kids, that's to me never a bad thing as long as their attitudes are good and they do what you want them to do, and I think these kids will. Then we've got, you mentioned a couple juniors and Alex Owings, who has quite a bit of experience. He played in all 21 games last year for us, played significant minutes, and Alex Henry, who did get some time last year, especially during that stretch where we had the injury to Matthew Smallwood. Basically after that, you're looking at another junior, David Allen. Right. David's a kid who's very scrappy young man, plays really hard. I mean, he's a guy that could, occasionally see some time just defensively or whatever. But again, we'll be playing a lot of JV, hoping he develops his game further. And then sophomores, Max Ward, I think, is a kid to keep an eye on. He's come along pretty well for us, come along a little quicker than I expected. He's developing into somebody who can bring some things to the table for us varsity-wise, a lanky, athletic kid, gives us a little bit of size and something, that we didn't have last year. But with that size, still pretty quick, pretty athletic. And then our other sophomore, you mentioned Levi Boring, who will play a lot of JV, but a guy that certainly, athletically brings some things there. And then dressing three freshmen, that's a little bit odd for us at the varsity level, but two of those freshmen in Chase Wood and Sean Cottle bring us some of that size we've talked about needing. In certain situations, you could see them in a game if we're having trouble on the boards or defending the post. And obviously, they make our practice a lot better, having some size there too. And they're going to be playing JV also, developing their games further. And then Jordan Albright will be our freshman that won't be playing JV, will be playing only varsity. Really just fills a need for us, because I talked about that. We haven't had another ball handler really at that position. And you mentioned Chewy's injury with the football injury with the ACL. You know, fortunately for him, they've been able to rehab that, and he's going to be able to play. And
one question to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
In terms of what is I know that the first scrimmage of the year when you guys scrimmaged Coach Seacrest's Marietta team and Washington Courthouse, I think Pup told me that, you know, that the doctor had cleared him to play, but he was limited minutes. I mean, like three minutes. What is the status today?
Well, they didn't really limit his minutes. The doctor pretty much cleared him. It was just something. It was a plan that I had for him. We're just trying to bring him along slowly. You know, we started him off in scrimmages playing about 3 minutes at a time, pulling him out, letting him get a rest. You know, it's an injury. Anybody that's ever had knee injuries before know that, you know, when you have that injury, there's a lack of stability in there a little bit. And normally that happens when you get fatigued, that you're going to re-injure that, you know, because right. maybe you don't have the strength to plant and cut or whatever. So we've tried to bring him along slow. But now he's playing pretty much regular. When I say regular minutes, to an extent, I mean, last year there were games where Chewy played, you know, 32 minutes. You know, I don't see that happening this year. I think it's going to be more of, you know, I've spoken to him and told him that, you know, our goal is to get you through an entire year. We need you on this team, even if it's in a little bit less of a, you know, less time on the floor and a little bit more limited action. We need you on the team. So my goal is to get him through the year. So you're not going to see him out there playing every minute of every game. We've got to get him his rest at times and make sure that he's strong. So, you know, but hopefully be able to get 20, 22 minutes out of him a night somewhere in that neighborhood. And because I tell you, he does a lot of good things for us. When you watch him play, he doesn't ooh and ah you necessarily, but when you watch him on film, he's where he's supposed to be defensively. He boxes out. He talks. He does a lot of the little things that probably go unnoticed by a lot of people, but they don't go unnoticed by coaches. Every coach will tell you, you need kids like that. And he's one of those guys for us. So we're certainly happy to have him, you know, even though he may not ever be 100%, we're still better with him.
And with the youth of having, Sean Cottle and Chase Wood, I think, you know, anyone in and around the TVC that knows anything about Vinton County that hears the last name Cottle,
right?
You obviously raise an eyebrow, because an athletic family way many, many generations back. Sean's sister, Lakin, played down at Oak Hill.
Right.
She went to Oak Hill, and Sean, you know, you think, but Sean is a very gifted, talented young man, but I think a lot of people don't know Sean wrestled. He never played organized basketball, yeah. I think, until about, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, he's only been playing since the seventh grade, so, you know, he's still learning a lot about the game, but he's catching on fast. I mean, he's coming along, and, you know, the nice thing for us is we're going to have a really solid JV team this year, and Coach Hale's going to work with those guys. You know, and what makes it nice for me is I can get a little bit out of those guys when I need it, but they still get their playing time, because freshmen and sophomores, you want them to get 3-4 quarters a night, you know, and so the JV team is going to be real beneficial to them as well.
Obviously, going to the 22-game season, pro or con for you, Coach? 22 games, that good, bad?
Well, it's one of those things. I know the coaches associations pushed for it for a long time, and because of that, I was in favor of it, because, you know, I'm one of the directors, and I think you have to represent the majority. But
so you were or were not personally in favor of it? Did you just roll with what the other coaches
wanted? It's not that I dislike the idea, but I worry about it, because we've had years here where you have trouble getting 20 games
in. Right.
You know, that's my biggest concern. My two biggest problems with it is you add two games and you don't add time. I mean, as far as I can see, we're starting the same weekend as we would have started with 20 games, and we're ending at the same time. So now you got to squeeze two more games in. And down in our part of the state, you know as well as I do, you get the least little bit of weather. I mean, some schools have rules. If you cancel school, you don't even have the game. So, I mean, you get a daggone coating of ice in the morning, and by noon it's 50 degrees.
Like last year, that Zane Trace game, we had a dusting of snow on Friday night, had a Saturday game, and it was going by noon.
My biggest thing is I hope schools are going to be a little more flexible in this, because if not, nobody's going to get 22 games in. We had a mild winter last year, and anybody who lives in Ohio knows that the chance of that happening 2 years in a row is slim. So that's my biggest concern, is just from a scheduling standpoint. I think, obviously, you know, the kids love it, I'm sure, because they want to play games, you know. But that's the biggest thing from an administrative standpoint. But we'll see how it goes. I think eventually it'll work out. Maybe they'll add a little more time to the season or whatever. So
on the coaching front, a couple of changes. Obviously, Coach Kite, NJ Kite, back as your varsity assistant and head babysitter to you. NJ does a great job with that. And then on the JV level, Coach Hale, Travis Hale, back for how many seasons has he been?
You know, he's been with me now, I think, like 10 or 11 years.
I think he started out as a freshman coach, like 03.
For a while, and then when Coach Royster stepped away from it, then he started doing JV. But yeah, he's been with me a long time now. Happy to have Travis.
On the freshman level, we did unfortunately have to say goodbye to our buddy Gage, Coach Gage Sowers, who Gage has actually moved on, and he's living in suburban Indianapolis, and he is coaching.
He's coaching
a middle seventh grade or a junior high team, and I talked to Gage about a month ago and doing real well.
He said he was coaching at one of the bigger schools in Indiana. And he said he had 62 kids try out for seventh grade basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. He's student teaching or doing an internship. He's a special needs teacher, and he is, I don't know what the name of the suburb is. It's a very affluent area.
It's Carmel, Indiana. It's actually very close to where, for golf fans, where the PGA Championship was played this year.
I just know he was telling me that in the seventh grade, that the system that he coaches, there are actually three seventh grade teams. There's an A team, a B team, and a C team. He coaches the A team, and basically the varsity coach in the high school said, here's our syllabus, here's our program, do what you want, run those three teams as you see it. And they, so you can, he seemed real excited. But anyhow, I hate to see Gage leave. Gage is, one, he was a very good young coach that knew the game real well. And then secondly, anyone who's ever spent any time around Gage knows that he's never short on words and never short on making you laugh either.
But I've got to be around.
But we got a good one coming in to replace Coach Sowers, Chad Carpenter, who's worked in the district as an assistant treasurer. He has been on the Jackson Ironman coaching staff for several years. He has joined the ranks, and he's taken over your freshman program.
Yeah, and he's done a great job. You know, I can see it in practice every day, the way he's teaching those kids. And the thing that's nice sometimes when you've been someplace a long time and you've had the same coaching staff, which we all want that kind of stability. But every now and then when you bring somebody in new, it brings some new ideas. You know, I mean, every now and then they'll be like, we ran this drill, take a look at it, see if you like it or not. And that stuff's good sometimes, you know, just to get a new take. So, plus he's seeing all these kids for kind of with unbiased eyes because he's only seen them for a few days. So it's nice to get his opinion sometimes at the varsity level too. So he's been a real nice addition.
I think, I don't know that you were someone was telling me early in the season, the conditioning part is he actually, some of the conditioning syllabus that had been used by Coach Heath McInnes at Jackson in prior years, you guys kind of saw that program, said, wow, this is good. So a lot of your conditioning this year, you kind of tweaked your system and with what Chad brought to the table. And, you know, like you said, it's good to fresh eyes. You kind of get in a rut when you see the same kids year after year and you get a bias, things like that. And finally, and most importantly, to anchor up your staff, the unofficial executive director of Inkenny Basketball Operations, Terry Wayne Pup Dog Lama Hale. We got him back too. Obviously, there was a tremendous amount of negotiating with his attorneys and our attorneys, but nonetheless, you got Pup back. So
Terry does a lot for us, obviously. A lot of volunteer work behind the scenes, and he'll be one of our site managers at some of the games this year, along with John Lindner, who they've both been hired as site managers to help administer some of the boys and girls basketball games, wrestling events, stuff like that. So, yep, glad to have him back. You know, to run a good program, you need a lot of people. You know, and we've got other volunteers too, and Chris Neal and Jared Albright who help us tremendously at practice.
Now, Jared is new on the bench, and he's just
Jared,
a volunteer.
Well, Jared's been volunteering down to junior high. He kind of wanted to get involved with older kids a little bit. And he's been great. And Chris has been with us now 3 or 4 or 5 years, maybe. It's been, I lose track, but he's always volunteered his time. Those guys don't get paid, and they put in a lot of effort. So good programs have people like that. So we're real fortunate to have them.
And we got Jerry Hawk. Is he coming back?
Yep, he's back again, keeping the book. He's a little upset because the state came up with a rule that the official scorer has to wear a striped shirt.
Oh, really?
Now, I'm telling you, I thought we were going to lose him. I thought we were going to lose him on that. He's going to do it.
If I see, I'll probably be seeing. Now, is that just for home games or home and away?
No, just official books. So just okay, be your
so
home
when
game.
So yeah. when you guys open up this December 4th with Waverly,
yes.
It probably wouldn't be the smartest thing in the world for me to to buzz Jerry about.
You might want to take it easy. Let him get used to that.
He's not happy. Jerry Hawk's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet, but and he's been on the books, I think, back in the 80s. We had him on last year. Well, listen, we're going to get into the TVC, and we'll also touch base on the entire schedule of the year. That all comes up next as the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's, continues in just a bit. Back on the Breaking Round Ball Podcast alongside Benton County Boys basketball coach Matt Combs. Carl Knoxon joined in the studio by our favorite Athens Bulldog and TVC connoisseur, the one and only Troy Bowling. You know, we had you on last episode last year, Troy, and what do? Right out of the gate, we pull out all the stops and have you back in studio.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always neat to come back in here. To the maroon room, purple room, whatever you want to call it. What is it, burgundy?
It's maroon.
It's maroon. Okay, maroon and white. You know, it gets me into basketball season. It's kind of weird. Athens has an awkward dynamic to where all football season, Nelsonville York is our hated rival. And then switch it over to basketball, it actually changes and Vinton County becomes the rival. And I've never really dealt with that. Usually when I was growing up, Logan was our rival. You know, we hated purple. We'd want to beat him in ping pong.
Right.
But
right.
Now with Athens being in a TVC, it's kind of awkward that way. It switches a little bit. So, yeah, well, it's always fun to come
by here. The way, just so we'll be cordial, congratulations to your Bulldogs on a wonderful, very, very impressive football run.
Very impressive.
That was an awesome run. I mean, we're only like 9 days removed from that game. So it is, it's different to switch gears right into basketball. I mean, we were 5 days in the preview. We were 5 days removed from that game.
My only suggestion for Athens, and we'll get into the conference, my only wish, Christmas wish, dream, would be your sophomore class.
Right.
Word to all the parents, would you please move out of the district? I don't know. Go to Parkersburg.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You guys got a group of athletes, especially, I mean, not limited, but that sophomore class over there, some studs. But let's talk about the TVC Ohio. We've already talked about the Vikings. We'll get to your opinion of Vinton County as we go through this, but let's just start with the Athens Bulldogs. You know, just kind of give me a rundown on personnel, what you see in terms of records and things like that. We'll just go through the whole conference.
Well, you know, not being able to practice or anything, it's really hard to even get a gauge on them right now. Football players, they didn't even really have time to practice last week because a lot of them came down sick. So that preview game that we had, that was their first practice of the year.
The preview just Friday night was the first time they were all on the court together.
Exactly. Of course, I mean, you know the players that are back. They looked great. Burrow only played a few minutes. Obviously, you know, he just got done with the football game. But I thought the freshman was really impressive.
Freshman guard? I heard that's
Ibby Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, I was pretty impressed with him. I mean, he's 6'3". He's going to be teamed up with Burrow in the backcourt, who's 6'3". Looked really good. Scored 14 points, and that was in, you know, half a basketball. Translate to about 20 at a game. And he didn't play football, so he's been playing basketball all fall. Him and Elmore and Summers. Those three guys didn't play football. The rest of them did. I was kind of impressed with Adam Lerman. He was the other Lerman twin that played JV last year. And it seems like he's progressed physically, played a lot, played pretty much every down in football. Very good receiver. So did Ryan. They both got a lot stronger, more mature. So when Athens is on the floor, you could very well see 6'3 Watkins, 6'3 Burrow in the backcourt. Lerman and Lerman are 6'4, 6'4. Elmore 6'5", and he goes about 260 pounds. That's going to be Athens' starting lineup, probably.
That Parkersburg transfer out idea. Coach Combs is just sitting there looking at you with this. I mean, and we know with Coach Skinner's system, they're going to set in that 1-3-1 zone, and it's tough.
They may or they may. I mean, I'm sure they'll mix that in, and it'll be tough with their size and length, and they're athletic enough to play man too if they want. They could probably pretty much do whatever they want in terms of scheme. I was very impressed with them just from an athletic standpoint the other night when I saw them at the preview. You know, they're going to be – I don't think there's any question on paper. You have to look at them and say, wow, you know, they've got to be the team probably everyone's kind of looking at. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about, and not to interrupt Troy, I'll let him get back to his thing, but a lot of the teams in our league probably feel like they're better. You know what I mean? I think the vast majority, there may be one or two that probably got hit pretty hard and then thinks, maybe we're not going to be as good. But like, you know, we think in a lot of ways we're better than we were last year. But Athens, I guarantee you, thinks in a lot of ways they're better too. Now, they lost a couple guys and Skinner, and one guy that goes completely unnoticed, or I thought went unnoticed last year, was Stanley. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about a guy that did a lot of the little things that people don't notice. So they lost a couple key guys, but boy, when you replace them with size, even, you know, albeit young, they're going to be very impressive physically. I mean, they're going to pass the eye test, so it'll just come down to how well they can execute together.
Well, as we kind of roll along, Troy, we'll just kind of take a little buzz up 33 and talk about Coach Klein's Nelsonville York Buckeyes.
Yeah, when you guys were talking about the TVC and thinking everybody's going to be better, when I looked over on paper and when we watched the preview, I was under the impression that a lot of the other Ohio teams lost quite a bit. And it right. seemed like Athens and Vinton, believe it or not, improved, why the other four teams may have come down a little bit, which is hard to believe with Athens and Vinton already playing for a league title last year, being the two best teams. But it seems to me it's the rich got rich and poor got poor, in a sense. That was just seeing them at the preview. Obviously, a half of basketball is really hard to say that, but that's what I got from it. And when you look at Nelsonville, they lose their point guard, Casey Cox, who had been there, it seemed like he was there 10 years. Right. You lose your wing and Daniel Klein. They lost their center and Kyle Moore. That's a lot of players. Kyle Freer got taken out in your football game against Vinton County. That's a huge loss for them.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they have a pretty solid JV team?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. That's
they had one of the better
freshmen.
Ones.
They both had good younger groups, yeah.
But, and, I mean, that's how do you think they developed? And I know we're talking the preview, but I don't know if you've seen them in scrimmages or throughout the summer. What kind of team are they going to be?
I think they'll be a decent team. You're right about the JV team. They only lost a couple games all year. But then you look in one sense, Athens' younger guys were on the varsity. Your guys were on the varsity. So what can you really judge from that? But Emmett Reed played JV last year. Very athletic, very quick. It was hard to handle on the football field. I think he could be a player for him. And then Clint Handa came in, and he led all scores Friday night. He scored 16. The kid can light it up from the outside. He was kind of stuck behind Klein in that small forward role. Mm-hmm. But they're really going to hurt where they lost Kyle Freer. He got injured in the football game versus Vinton County.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a knee or an ankle. But I was really looking for big things from him, and he's not going to be able to play. He's not even on their roster. And Austin North was also a really nice player. He's having some other issues where they're not sure if he's going to play or not either. So it's going to be a little transition for him. But from what I saw at the preview, they still got a lot of athletes. Seems like Nelsonville York always has athletes. Colt Adams is going to be a really nice player. Played quarterback for him for a couple games. He's tall. You know, and with Nelsonville York, and you're in that Division III sectional at Athens, I don't know if they can pass Athens or Vinton for a league title. They can scratch out 11, 12 wins. You're still looking at a top four seed, you know, in that section. Yeah. They could always play for that.
Right. At least in last year, I thought that the D3 Athens sectional versus the Jackson D3 sectional was like night and day. I mean, the Athens sectional was way weaker, in my opinion, than the schools you had down at Jackson. But anyhow, moving on, last year 12-8, 5-5 in the TVC Ohio. Coach Chris Graham in his second year at Wellston on the helm for the Rockets. I know they lost Nigel Quartz, lost the Warrington kid too.
Yes, right. Graduation.
But they do have
and
a big
Craig also.
Yeah, Kevin graduated. Craig, boy, he graduated. They get Justin Susley back, and I'm hearing that they had a transfer in from the Indiana, Detroit, somewhere up in that area. And I heard this kid's a pretty good player, but what do you know about the Rockets?
When I watched them Friday, first of all, I mean, Justice. Yeah. He's so impressive. I mean, in warm-ups, the refs weren't saying if you could or could not dunk.
And never plays on the block, though.
He probably threw down 7 or 8 just awesome dunks, forward, sideways, backwards.
Yeah.
Get in the game, he went three-point line to three-point line.
Yeah,
and a kid like that, if they could just get him on the block, he could absolutely dominate this league.
An athlete. Yeah,
he is.
No doubt about that.
But it's same problems that I seen that plagued them last year, plagued them just Friday night. Some perimeter play, not using Usley down on the block. The Smith kid that they got from Indiana, he's another big body, 6'3".
Well, you're not kidding.
He's big, man. Down low. I mean, he's a big guy.
He's not a stick. He's got some meat on his bones.
This guy looks to me like he's about, I mean, he's got the body of like a 25-year-old.
You know what I
mean?
I thought he was. When they walked in with a bag, I thought he was a coach.
Yeah.
And I was making fun of Kevin Wiseman, the other messenger. We were kind of kidding. We're like, that guy's not a player, right? Because he had a mustache and, I mean, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was a coach.
But he is athletic and he can play.
Oh, yeah. Big, strong kid. So, I mean, we've only seen him play a couple quarters, but look pretty smooth.
Not
I mean,
quick on the front, but just big. You know, kind of like a Charles Barkley.
Certainly can't hurt him any. He's going to help him.
In the guard position for Wellston, who's running that this year?
Dakota Brown, and he was a good player last year. I mean,
isn't he the boy that was involved in a car wreck?
Yeah, he got banged up a little bit.
Serious car wreck.
Yeah, I mean, it was
back
pretty,
in August.
Yeah, I mean, and then he's healed up.
He's
from
okay.
It. Yeah, I believe you're right on that. But, yeah, he's got some experience. Like Troy said, he played last year. I think their thing will be, I don't know, you know, I'm sure they're looking for some depth and to see where that comes from, you know.
Andrew Richards is another big kid.
Yes.
See how big he was? I mean, he was big last year.
Yeah, he played a little bit last year too. So
he could really hurt you on the boards. Maybe that's why Usley's not being taken underneath with that guy, the transfer Smith and Richards. But I would like to see him on the block. And even defensively, he doesn't go down into the paint. You know, a few years ago when Alexander had Jack Hart, I mean, you had to change your game plan against Alexander.
Completely. Yep.
You know, and they rode that kid all the way to the convo. And Usley could do similar things if he wanted to, if he would take on that role.
Moving along to the Alexander Spartans, 4-16 last year, 2-8 in the TVC Ohio. Coach Blaine Gabriel, I know, well, obviously you being an Athens County guy all your life and with Coach Combs having family ties to the Albany area, I don't know the exact number. It's within 10 or 15 games, but coaching then anyone, any old-timer knows, Blaine Gabriel is poised to break Coach Bill Whaley's all-time wins record at Alexander High School this year. And that says, you know, that just a testament to how long Blaine's been over there. But talk a little bit about the Spartans this year.
Offensively, they looked pretty good Friday. I mean, they put up the most points of any team. I think they scored like 47.
Shot the lights out of
them. Yeah, they did. And they're going to have to because they have absolutely no size. Braden Jones is their center, and he's probably about 6'1". He's very athletic, but 6'1 is it's not very tall when you're looking at a center position.
He was their main scorer last year.
Him and Jake Gray, they lost.
Weffler.
The Gray kid for them, they graduated him too, who shot the three real well for them last year. Jones might have been their leading scorer, but they returned pretty much everybody. I mean, they lost a couple kids, but I think the core of their team, and then they looked to me like they had a couple young kids too dressing. That they're wanting some freshman kids are going to want some stuff out of. But, I mean, if they shoot the ball like they did the other night, they'll beat just about anybody. But I think they told me they shot 70% from the three-point line in the preview.
Yeah, they can shoot. Their backcourt's very small, though. Jordan Mosley's 5'4", and the other kid's 5'7".
I take it the same defensive scheme that Coach Gabriel normally runs. It's, you know, it, like I said,
well, they didn't really show that the preview. They just pretty much played straight man, but I'm sure he'll mix in a lot of the pressure that he always uses. And, you know, obviously they're probably going to press people. They're small and they're going to try to get after you. But
before we get to Megs, we've been talking because a lot of this is based off the preview Friday night.
Right.
And I know you're, and I'm not saying this to say anything negative about Athens or the Shriners. I'm in the Masonic Lodge. Great organization. But with the advent of foundation games over the past couple of years, and I'm kind of asking both of your opinions, you as a coach and you as a sports high school sports junkie. Well, our previews, I mean, it's two quarters. No one shows their hand.
Right.
It's, you know, and then you have a foundation game that, you know, I'm not saying you show everything, but it's more of a full-fledged game.
Right.
You know, things like that. And they have them, the SOC and the SVC. They still have these preview nights. Have they gotten to be a waste of time? Other than the charitable contributions that they develop.
No, I mean, I think, one, the big thing is the money raised. You know what I mean? Like, in our case, you raise it for a great organization. And I think in a lot of leagues, in the SVC, I can speak for them, that's one of their major fundraisers for their league all year. You know, they make a lot of money on the boys and girls previews, and then they're able to do some things in their league. For instance, they have like everybody that makes all league gets to go to a banquet at a restaurant, and they do it real nice. And, so they raise some money that way. So the money, I think, and it's for the fans, I think, more than anything, wouldn't you agree? I mean, so you can come in and kind of see. I'm sure some coaches view it as kind of a pain or whatever. It's never, you know, we go over there and some years we just sort of kind of go through the motions. This year we went over there and played really hard because I told our kids I was tired of us kind of being lackluster.
Well, you're coming off a foundation game that you didn't have a
good
night.
So we went over there and treated it kind of real, you know, and played it that way. But I mean, obviously you sub a little bit more than you normally would, but so I think it's just each team kind of does their own thing. You'll go to some of those. You've been at them for years, Troy. You'll go to some and you'll see a coach press full court for two quarters. I mean,
yeah.
I can remember years ago when Mitch Haas coached Nelsonville, man, they came out of there and was playing like it was district championship, you know. And then you see some coaches don't, you know, just sub five at a time, don't even play their starters together. I think every coach handles it differently, but it's more for the fans. I guess the one thing for coaches, it is kind of nice to see, like this year, especially with some different kids coming into the league, it was kind of nice to sit into the stands and at least get a mental image of what those kids look like and
right.
what, you know, you can't really scout because teams aren't running everything, but at least, you know, I'd heard about like the kid from Wellston transferring in. It was nice to get to see him. Okay, this is what he looks like. This is who he is. And then obviously you hope to scout him more thoroughly as the season goes. But so it is, there's some benefit to it.
What do you think, Troy?
Yeah, I still love him from a fan standpoint. It's kind of like a dress rehearsal, and you're never going to go wrong if you're raising money for the Shriners, which
right.
is ours.
And I'm not saying it to right, I think right. that I'm not like, trying to come off on that. It's just I've heard some varsity coaches complain about it. I'm sure you can take
well,
a guess.
Well, I mean, I've complained about it before. I mean, because there are times you'll be like, oh, gosh, you know, because mm-hmm. there might be a year it just kind of gets in the way of what you're doing, and you'd rather not do it. And I tell you when I hated him was as a player, because I hated putting that uniform on knowing that my coach was going to play me about 7-8 minutes, you know what I mean?
And it really did, yeah.
but no, I mean, it is what it is. It's just part of it. But
I think it was good for like our freshmen, like Ibby
yes,
and Zakiya, who's never been in front of a varsity crowd. They were playing 8th grade basketball last year, so to put right. the uniform on, to right. play on the varsity floor with all the fans, it was good for them. And I think it's really good for a lot of the media guys. We really utilized it.
Right.
We interview the coaches for the preview, and like you said, the eye test. You get to look at all the teams. So, you know, selfishly, I still really enjoy it.
Before we get, you know, as far as the last team in the TVC Ohio, down at Meg's Marauders, new coaching change. Benny Ewing is no longer, and Dave Kite, the older brother of Benton County varsity assistant NJ Kite. Dave Kite takes over down at Meg's. They went 2-18 last year overall, 1-9 in the TVC. A little background on Dave. Most recently, he was the head coach at Western Latham in Pike County, a graduate of Jackson High School and the University of Rio Grande. I know Dave somewhat personally. Seen his coach. He's a very hard worker. I don't think he'll get out work, but the Marauders, what do you see there?
Well, they lost Jesse Smith and Cody Maddox from last year, but I still think they'll be better than 2-18 for some reason. When you talked about the summer leagues, there were a lot of people that thought Meg's looked pretty good down at the Jackson Summer League, but that's when you're just letting your kids run up and down the floor. So athletically, it kind of tells you that, yeah, they'll probably be a little better. Dylan Boyer's a great little point guard. He's very fast. Anytime you can have a good point guard on the floor, you're in good shape. Got a couple big guys, Dustin Albrick, Cody Stewart. They're both 6'3". I'd say you're looking at a better team than 2-18.
Oh,
for sure.
I think so.
No disrespect to Benny Ewing, but just call a spade a spade. There's kind of only one way to go, and that's up when you're 2-8.
Right.
And you know, and granted, they have their and just a change of personnel and a change of program. And I'm not saying that Dave Kite's, the next Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski or whatever, but a change in philosophy, a change in program, a change in how you do things. You know, it's kind of one of those things that I think it's we'll see how it evolves.
Yeah, I mean, you get when a new coach comes in, you get a little bit of renewed energy one way or the other. The Williamson kid gives them some size too, and then they have a pretty good freshman, I believe his name's Sheets.
Caleb or Ty Phelps, the two football players for some reason. And Caleb is a really good athlete, but he's
right.
a freshman. So.
Yeah, so
it'll be interesting.
It's interesting. We got some freshmen in the league this year. Think about it. I mean,
a lot of
Athens
youth.
Athens has a couple nice ones, and then the Sheets kid from Meg's, and of course we've got one that's going to see some minutes for us in Albright.
Chapman
over at Alex.
Right.
I mean,
I heard he can stroke the ball.
Yeah, he scored a lot.
There's a lot of youth in this league right now. No doubt about it.
Final prediction. take your bias
really?
off.
Well, you know, why not? You know, I know what you're going to say. I'm going to go the same way, too.
I'd say an easy way out would be to say Athens wins the game against Fenton County at home, maybe loses on the road. They both finish 9-1, tie for the league title.
Yeah, that is very – that's soft.
Yeah,
it is. Well, you know that game got moved, too.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Supposed to play the one
– We don't play each other until the 18th of January.
No, it's moved back, which could be fun, I think, for the fans because they'll want to see those
games late in the year. Oh, absolutely. I would like you guys to keep it that way. Now we're at the end of the TVC cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's kind of out of our control, but, I mean, this year it worked out because we had to reschedule because Athens – You know, they it was the right thing to do. I mean, they're getting started late, and we would hope that if we were ever in that situation, they'd do it for us, obviously. But I think that it's going to be one of those leagues this year. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of teams that have gotten better, in my opinion, because experience will do wonders for you. And even if you look at, like, Alexander, some of those kids had a year under their belt now. You know what I mean? That's going to make them better. They're going to feel better about it. It's going to be one of those leagues where you got to be careful not to get knocked off on a given night by somebody that on paper maybe shouldn't get you. You know, right. I think that's going to be a key. And then,
well, Nelsonville beat Athens last year.
Yeah,
that was the league right there.
Yeah, I know.
It was the difference, right? So you got to be careful with that. And but obviously, you know, from a coach's standpoint, we think we're going to be better, but we know that everybody else probably feels that way too. And Athens has a really impressive group, so we've got our work cut out for us for sure.
I think the team that would be able to pull that off athletically would be Wellston. And, of course, that's your guys' rival. Uh-huh. You know, going over to Wellston could be a game to look out for because, you know, man-to-man, athletically-wise, I think they have the capability to beat one of the two teams.
Right, or if you catch Meigs on a given night with their size down at Meigs, everybody knows right, that it's kind of a tough place to play. Was it last year that Meigs had Athens completely on the road?
Yeah, almost should have lost. I was down there. Yeah.
You guys just came back right. You were behind a good part of that game. Yeah.
You never know. I mean, I remember way back in 2003, I think it was, they beat us, and we ended up losing the league by one game. You know, so you never know when you go down there, they can get you.
You know, back to this Athens, the rescheduled game that I think was supposed to have been originally your third or fourth
December game. December 7th, third game of the year for us.
And that was going to be at our place. But in all reality, and I understand, you know, them just coming off football, they're going to, you know, and I think something you had posted on preps, I think Athens starts out with six or seven of their first eight or nine games is on the road.
Yeah, seven out of eight. And they're against really good teams.
Yeah,
we're going to test it out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, you know, they're not in basketball shape, so to speak. But even that being said, I think it's a win-win to some degree for Vinton County to reschedule it. Because right now, you know, Vinton County going into the season, you're not, you know, Alex is still the nose issue. Some other player personnel issues,
right?
Matthew Smallwood's, and a lot of things can happen between now and the middle of February,
right.
But still, it's, you know, you're thinking if everything goes well, that is going to be a showdown come February the 12th when you host the Bulldogs here at Vinton County.
Right, we'll play them before that.
And
you get the last one at home too, and that's huge.
That's
killed us at home last
year. Yeah, yeah. When that's the funny thing about our league, and I'm not so sure why it happens this way, but it seems like it doesn't turn over the right way. Like we'll end up playing a team three or four straight years in some cases at home first.
Right.
When it really should flip. Like last year we played Athens first at home.
No, right?
We
played them at Vinton County
right,
first.
Right.
And then this year we're supposed to do the same thing. That really should have flipped. Because most coaches will tell you, at least I would, I'd just soon have that home game later in the year. You know what I mean? It puts a lot of pressure on that home team to win that early game, you know, win that early home game and hold serve, so to speak. So for some reason, our league doesn't flip that way all the time. The rotations are kind of weird. I remember one time we played Alexander, I think, for like four straight years on the road first. Hmm. Now, one of them was a snow out, so I can't, you know what I mean, because it flipped. But yeah, so I don't know. But anyway, yeah, we'll play them both. We'll play them within a few weeks of each other, I guess, later in the year.
The Viking Roundball Podcast presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. I'd like to thank them for their support of the Viking Roundball Podcast. If you have a question for Coach Combs, VikingRoundballPodcast@yahoo.com. Before we get out of here, just overall, so you're picking you're not really picking anyone.
That was the safest way out. I mean, I actually wholeheartedly believe that. I'm not just playing defense. They're both so good. I can't really. It's almost like picking the Athens Nelsonville football winner every year. It's just so close. And right now, I see them as being that good, both of them.
Well, it's I'm kind of waffled a little bit too, and I haven't seen Athens this year. But everybody I've talked to that was at the preview, just says, you know, they're just stacked. And I remember, you know, the size thing. But again, at this time of the year, as much as we'd like to be armchair quarterbacks and all the speculating, so many things can happen between now and the end of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, in our case, we obviously have a lot of talent. If we could just get some coaching. I'm just joking.
I mean, you know.
No, I mean, it's serious. I mean, I think you'd agree with me. There's just it's how a team develops. You know, every team's got their strengths and weaknesses, and they go through their good times and their bad times. And it's kind of one of these things that, I mean, I think that, you know, just the foundation game, Vinton County lost over at Union Yodo, and I think it was one of those things that after the game without, you know, I think it's that it's to see if kids, you know, answer the bell, whether it be, you know, whatever need the team has. There's so many things that can happen between now and once tournament play starts, and that's what makes this whole thing fun.
When we did this last year, I was talking about Devon Sharp being possible player of the year.
Right. Changed everything.
At the end of the year, we weren't even the same team. We weren't even close to the same team. So, yeah.
No, but I think Coach Skinner did a great job. You know, it was kind of one of those things before Sharp was no longer playing. You know, Athens was, you know, everyone was talking a lot. But, I mean, Jeff did a really, really good job, you know, going to the convo. How long has it been since I've seen Athens in the convo?
Oh, it's been a while because, like, Coach Combs was saying, that sectional is so tough. So glad we should be just thinking Fairland every time we see them, because when they moved up to Division II, right, it switched our sectional to four teams.
Yes.
And
hopefully,
awesome.
We'll, you know, obviously we'll get that this year because it goes on 2-year cycle,
right.
But hopefully that'll continue. I know
it needs to.
There's some talk of changing some things about it, so we'll see. But I mean, there's a lot that happens as the season goes. I mean, in their case last year, you can make the argument, though, that it brought them together as a team and they played better basketball at the end. I mean, I don't know that anyone was playing any better than them at the end of the year last year. And I think a lot happens throughout the course of a long season, and team chemistry comes into play, and the way kids react to certain situations. And, you know, you never know. I remember the words of Joe Griesheimer, one of my assistant coaches when I played. Griese always had a way with words that I won't get into, but Griese said one time, he goes, just remember this, he said, when you start coaching, he goes, when you put what you do in the hands of teenagers, strange things will happen. Except he didn't say things. He had an adjective in there that I won't say on the show. But it will happen, he said. So you never know with high school kids over the course of 3 months.
Well, when things go well, we praise the kids. Things go bad, throw the coach under the bus. You know, before we get you out of here, Coach Troy, I was kind of doing a little, you know, just kind of brushing up on things, and went to the Ohio High School Athletic Association website, and I found this big, you know, the Ohio High School Athletic Association official 2012-2013 coach and official basketball guide.
Right.
Get into the third page. It's the officers. Tom Berrick, by the way, is the president this year.
Yeah.
The coach.
Yeah, he's been the president.
I started going down through here. I mean, District 13, Matt Combs, Vinton County.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the position you took over for Norm?
Yes. Yeah, wow. A couple years ago.
Yeah, what does that entail?
Sleeping
through
a bunch of meetings.
A little extra work, you know, putting together the district all-star game, making sure people pay their dues, which a lot of times wait till the last minute, get their dues paid. But it's been fun. Get to go to some meetings, get to meet, talk to other coaches, and see. The most enjoyable part of it is kind of to see the inner workings in terms of how rules get changed or made, or how things like that happen, but it's been fun.
The one name that came up here in District 5, and I don't know if you know the guy or not. I've never met him personally. I've heard tons of stories. Coach Joe Dunleavy of Indian Creeks High School.
Yeah.
Do you know Joe?
Yeah. Yes, I do. He is. I know who he is. I don't know him real well. I mean, I've been in meetings and with him and stuff. But yeah, you look at a lot of those guys on there. They've been doing it a long time, and they've. Coach Stiverson's on there from Logan Elm. He does for District 14.
Trap, Coach Lip Trap, out of Pickerton North.
There's a lot of good ones on there. We have fun at the meetings, for sure.
The funny story of how I got to know who Coach, the nickname they gave him is Indian Joe, because Indian Creek. But Coach Norm Pearson, who we've had on before, and anyone who's seen Norm coach or scream, as I call it, you know, Norm is a old school, screaming, yelling, high strung. He used to take his team, the team camp that they went to was the same team camp that Coach Joe Dunleavy would take his team to. And Norm's always kind of been proud of himself for being an in-your-face, no, not mincing words, anything like that. But he had his team walking into a gym, and Indian Creek's team had just been defeated soundly in a summer you know, team camp shootout. And Coach Dunleavy was ripping his players so badly on the baseline. I mean, had kids in tears. That Norm Pearson, he said, I actually felt sorry for kids. And I'm thinking, okay, if this guy can do that, you know, he's a get in your face kind of coach. Well, guys, listen, we got to run. Troy, thanks for coming over. I'm sure we'll probably have you in here.
Cool.
As long as the Vikings win and we don't get, you know, bad. But
somewhere around like January 15th.
Oh, you want to book your time now?
Oh, well, you know, right before our first game.
I don't know if my people can get in touch with your people. We'll, no, I mean, we normally operate on about a 4-day window.
Yeah.
If we're having a good week.
This is a top-notch professional operation here, Troy. This isn't fly by.
Because you got to understand, during golf season, he answers phone calls and text messages. Contingent on how the wind's blowing and what his win-loss record is, you know, it's kind of an organizational train wreck. But no, we will plan on late
definitely.
January.
Definitely.
Probably around tournament draw time right before that and right before the big rivalry game. And I will save you a seat at the gymnasium over here. Maybe we can hang out together.
The Vinton County game here?
Oh, yeah.
I actually got the radio gig for that game. I'll be calling it on 970.
Oh, so no,
you can sit with me if you want.
Hey.
We'll have you on the radio.
My parents spent thousands of dollars at the Ohio University to get me a broadcasting degree, and you see how far it got me. But no, I'll come up. I'll come up there on the top row of the visitors'
side. It sounds like you might be getting big-timed a little bit right here.
It's true. You're media man, website guy. Now you're on. Are you on XTQ OUB?
Yeah, we did a lot of football stuff.
I used to work there.
We had a 105.5 call-in show after the games that went on for about 3 hours. We did that every Friday. Had a preview show on Thursday on WATH.
Well, we got Podcast Pete over here, or Holmes. You've got the podcast. So you've got media experience now, and I'm hurt. I'll rebound. Okay?
No, you'll bounce back.
I'll see you next week, Coach.
All right, man.
Troy, thanks a lot. Again, thanks to McDonald's, the Viking Rumball podcast presented by McDonald's. I'm Levin at McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. We'll talk to you again next week on the Viking Rumball podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball podcast.